title of this message is, what you gonna do? The year is almost over, and we're about to embark on a new year. So what you gonna do? Mark chapter 4, verses 1 down through verse 9. I want to read those verses, and then we're going to be looking at some others as well as we get into the message this morning. But notice what it says, and he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell on by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100-fold. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray for just a moment. Father, we bow before your throne this morning and thank you for the great God that you are. We thank you for your love, for your mercy, for the grace that you bestowed upon us. Thank you for the great salvation you provided for us through your Son's shed blood upon the cross at Calvary. And I thank you once again that you have given us your word. We ask, Father, that you would anoint it with your Spirit this morning. I pray, God, that your Spirit would move up and down each row of pews, rest upon each heart. And as the Scripture says here, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God has to say. And so, Father, as best we know how, we yield ourselves to you. We ask that your will would be fully and richly accomplished. And we'll thank you for that, what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, we do pray, believing. Amen. So we're fast approaching the end of another year. Just a couple more days, and we'll be leaving 2019 and entering into 2020. And I got to thinking about this as I was praying and trying to find what God would have me to preach on this morning. And I thought about over the past year, if you have been in every Sunday morning service, you've heard at least 51 sermons this year. Today would be 52. This does not take into account the midweek services, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, nor does it take in the Sunday school time that we've enjoyed throughout the year. Nor does it include the revival services that we had this past spring. But we have had a lot of preaching and teaching throughout the year of 2019. Let me just say this. I don't have my notes here this morning, but I have enjoyed teaching the adult Sunday school class. I don't know if they're enjoying it, but I'm enjoying it. Amen. Of taking the Word of God. We spent the last 5 or 6 or 7 weeks just in the first chapter of Philippians. Chapter number one, finished it this morning, amen. But I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I trust that you have too. There is a difference between preaching and teaching. I've said this in the Sunday school class many times. Preaching the Word of God calls for a decision to be made. When the Word of God is preached, it's to be presented in such a way that it causes us to make a decision about what has been preached. Teaching imparts knowledge to help us grow in our walk with the Lord. Now, that includes the decision as well. Are we going to obey the Word of God or disobey the Word of God? But there is a difference between the two. So preaching is to bring us to a place that we make a decision to make a change in our lives, and teaching is to impart knowledge to us or truth from God's Word to apply to our lives that we might have a closer walk with the Lord and be more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When one does not make a decision, you've already made a decision. If you say, well, I'm not going to go to the altar, I'm not going to make a decision this morning, you've already made a decision not to make a decision. You've already said, I'm not going to do anything about this. And, shame on us, amen. And if in teaching, when we are given information to help us to develop and grow in our Christian walk, and we don't heed the Word of God that we receive, then we are the losers. So throughout this past year, and all the preaching that we've heard, all the teaching that we've heard, we're going to have to do something with it. As we approach the end of one year and enter into a new year, we will again hear the Word of God preached and taught. And again, we will be challenged from the Word of God. I want us to consider this passage that we have before us. I believe it will show us four ways in which the Word of God is received and the effect that it can have or should have on our lives. How we receive the Word is going to determine what kind of a heart we have. So I want us to look at these four different types of soils that we have here in the Word of God this morning. Now, let me just start number one here. In verse 4 it says, "And it came to pass, as he sowed, there fell some by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up." We jump over to verse number 15. Verses 1 down through verse 9. Let me just back up for just a second, and we'll read this verse in just a moment. But verses 1 through 9 is when Jesus is teaching the parable. We read there in verse 1 that there was such a multitude, he got into a ship or a boat, went out on the sea, used that as a pulpit to preach the Word of God or teach the Word of God. And so in verses 1 down through verse 9, he is giving the parable. And then when we come to verses 15 down through verse 20, he explains the parable to the disciples and other believers that were there. And so in verse 4, it says, "It came to pass that he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured up." He explains it in verse 15, "And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." So let me say this, the seed is the Word of God. The Word of God, it tells us here in verse 4 that the Word of God was sown. And the Word of God fell upon hard soil. I liken this hard soil to the closed mind or the closed heart. The Word of God was sown, the Word of God was spread out, the Word of God was cast out, but it fell upon ground that was hard. Brother Ethan can kind of attest to this. I know they do farming, and you know, some of that seed, if it was in the old days, they would just take their bag of seed and they would broadcast it out. And some of that seed would fall on what was called hard ground. That was ground that maybe run along the side of the field where maybe people walked. It was a path or maybe a pathway through that field. Or, you know, some area that was not normally planted with seed. But some of that seed would fall on that hard ground and it did not take root. And I thought about that. And I thought about, as the Word of God is sown, and if it falls upon hard ground, that is a closed heart. Will not receive the Word of God. Think back in the Old Testament, Moses and Pharaoh. Moses went to Pharaoh and says, God told him to tell him, "Let my people go." And here Pharaoh says, "Yeah, I'll let them go." But then the Word of God says he hardened his heart. You go on down through that passage of Scripture, it says that he hardened his heart and God hardened his heart. But he hardened his heart first. We come into a service and we hear the Word of God preached, and if we're not careful, we'll allow our hearts to become hard and not receive the Word of God. We should come to every service anticipating and expecting the Holy Spirit to speak to us. But here it says that the seed fell on this stony ground, this hard ground. Verse 15, "And these are they by the wayside which hear," that where the word is sown, "but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." You hear but instead of allowing it to take root and to grow and to germinate and to bring forth a plant, and it says that the fowls of the air comes along, Satan, and snatches it away. You know, it's amazing to me how what we do right after the service. I enjoy fellowship. But we get out of the service, comes to an end, the doors are open, we go out into the foyer, and we start talking about this, that, and the other thing. Talk about the weather, talk about the holidays, talk about our children, talk about our grandchildren, talk about our jobs. But we don't talk about the message that was preached. We don't say, man, that was a good message. God spoke to my heart. And I wonder if our hearts have become hard and not receiving the Word of God. See, we get distracted by all other kinds of things. We sit here in the preaching service and the man of God gets up and preaches the Word of God, and is still having our hearts open and receptive to what the Word of God says and what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our hearts. We are unknowingly hardening our hearts because we're distracted by all other things. We're thinking about, what am I going to have for lunch? Wonder how long the line's going to be when I get down to Grace. Oh man, I got to go to work tomorrow. We think about everything except what the preacher's saying, what the Word of God is saying, and that is hardening our hearts, and therefore we have a closed mind to what the Lord is saying. Become distracted. Sometimes we're deceived. We're deceived in the things of, oh, you know, this is not for me. You know, we've all been there. We're all guilty. Lord, they sure need this. Start shoveling it back. Lord, have you got their attention? And we're deceived. The devil gets to the place where he deceives us, and we think, hey, this is not for me, but it's for everybody else. Our hearts become hard. Over the past year, all the preaching and all the teaching that we've had, what kind of ground has it fallen on? The hard soil, the closed mind. Notice with me verses 5 and 6 what the Word of God says. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. So here he has the teaching of the parable in verses 5 and 6, but then he explains it over in verses 16 and 17. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the world's sake, immediately they are offended. So here we have the stony soil, or the stony ground. Now this is ground, it's not like the hard ground where the seed just lays on top of it, and the birds come and snatch it away. But this is ground that there's stone underneath of it, but it has just a small layer of dirt, and the seed actually gets into it. And it begins to grow. Here's what it says there in verse 16. And these are likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. I've preached in services where I've seen people at the invitation time come to the altar and make a decision for the Lord, and then the FBI, the CIA, or nobody else can find them the rest of the week. It sprung up. Then I've seen some who have come and made a decision for the Lord, they start coming on Sunday morning, they start coming on Sunday night, they start coming on Wednesday night, they start coming to Sunday school, but then some kind of a persecution or something arises, somebody makes fun of their religion, makes fun of their salvation, and they become they allow that to be snatched away. It just withers away, and then you can't find them anymore. I don't know how many over the years that we traveled in evangelism, went back to churches every year for several years. Some of them for 15 and 16 years, the same churches every year, go back and preach a revival meeting. And I remember the year before that somebody walked the aisle and made a profession of faith. And I asked the pastor, where are they? Oh, they don't come anymore. I don't believe they really got saved. I've told my testimony before, but I'll go ahead and tell it again because I like telling it. I got saved on a Monday night. The only reason I went to church that night was to get Janet off my back. She had gotten saved about a year before, and she began to pray that God would save me, and they're having a revival meeting in the church, and I went. I said, I'll go tonight, don't want to hear any more about it. Got saved on that Monday night, went back Tuesday night, went back Wednesday night, went back Thursday night, went back Friday, was disappointed there was no service on Saturday, had to wait until Sunday. I was there for Sunday school, I was there Sunday morning, I was there Sunday night, I was there the next Wednesday night, and my friend, listen, I got saved! It took root! Listen, it didn't fall upon the stony ground where it just sprung up for a little while and then it withered away. I'm sure every one of us here this morning can think of someone that you know who made a profession of faith and it seemed like they were really going to be on fire for God. They were really going to get involved in the things of God, but all of a sudden they just disappear. They just wither away. I tend to think those are emotional decisions. Get caught up in the moment. And these kind of people usually use God like a spare tire. It's there if I need it. It's there in the back of the car if I need it. You know, if I have a flat, I've got a spare tire. And they treat God like a spare tire. Well, I know that He's there just in case I need Him. They get caught up in the excitement of the moment. They have a confused mind. A stony soil. One of these soils is your soil. One of these soils is my soil. So we have that stony soil. Immediately, notice it says in verse 6, immediately receive with gladness and have no root in themselves and so endure for a time. But afterward, when affliction and persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, standing up for the things of God, immediately they are offended. Won't take a stand. If you're truly born again, you're going to stand for the things of God. You're going to stand for them. Notice with me in verse number 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Here we have the thorny soil, or what I call the cluttered mind. Just so much going on that you can't really devote yourself to the things of God. Notice what it says here. It says, it fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it down, and it yielded no fruit. Over in verse number 18, notice what it says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Here, this is not like the hard ground, the closed mind. It's not like the stony ground, the confused mind. But here it's the thorny soil, which is a cluttered mind or heart. It says that the seed was sown and it began to grow up. But it was amongst the thorns and the briars. This is part of the field that was maybe cleared off, maybe been plowed, maybe been cultivated. But there was weeds there. And the weeds on top are gone, but the root is still there. And those thorns or those weeds begin to grow up with the crop. The tares. And if you're not careful, when I was a kid, my family, we had gardens. The house where I grew up in Mapleton, Illinois, it was a double lot. The back lot was a garden. Across the street where a widow lady lived, we took care of her yard for her so we could use the garden area. Down the street next to the post office was another widow lady, and we took care of her yard so we could use the back part of her yard for garden. All the way on the east end of town, across the little creek, was another widow lady, and we took care of her yard so we could use that piece of ground to plant nothing but taters. And I don't like gardening. I did a lot of it when I was a kid. But we had to go out there with the hoe and cut the weeds out. Sometimes you had to pull them out. Because if you didn't, the weeds would grow and choke out that which you had planted. And we all know that principle. And here, the Word of God, it says that the Word of God fell among the thorny soil, the cluttered mind, the cares of this life, the concern about self, the cautiousness about serving the Lord. And you allow all these things to choke out what God wants us to do. Got too many things going. Too busy. I don't have time. You don't have time for God? I just haven't had time this week to read my Bible. But you watch this program and that program and this program and that program. I don't have time to pray. You're letting the cares of this life, the concern about self, choke out the things of God. Let me tell you something that will blow your mind. This is very profound. We all have the same amount of time each day. Anybody here got more than 24 hours a day? No. But it's a priority of our time. See, the Word of God here, you hear the Word of God preached and you receive the Word of God and it begins to grow in your life, but then all the cares of this life and being concerned about self, and you get cautious about, well, I don't want to tell them I'll help do that because it might take up time that I want to do something else. Cautious about serving. Chokes it out. Chokes it out. The thorny soil. The cluttered mind. But praise God, look at verse number 8. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. This is the good soil. The cultivated heart. You can ask any farmer, any gardener, you've got to prepare the ground. The farmers this spring just won't go out and plant their seed. They prepare the ground. When I was a kid growing up, my dad had this little two-wheel tractor. It had a little one-bottom plow on it. He had a disc and had a cultivator that would go on that thing. But I remember every spring he'd go out there in the backyard, run that little two-wheel tractor up there in the yard, and he would plow up the garden. We did that there and across the street, and both places down the road from us. Prepared the soil. Listen, we need to have good soil, a cultivated heart. When we come to church on Sunday morning, we should have been praying and saying, Lord, speak to my heart. I want my heart to be good soil. I want my heart to be ready to receive the Word of God. I want it to produce fruit in my life. The good soil. Notice what it says, and there again in verse number 8, and the other fell on good ground and did yield much yield fruit, that it sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Over in verse number 20, he explained that these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. When the farmer goes out and plants that seed corn, and the ground has been prepared, the ground has been cultivated, the ground has had fertilizer put on it, and they watch it grow, and they come to the end of the growing season, and it's time to get the combine out. My friend, listen, some of those seeds of corn are going to produce 30, some are going to produce 60, and some are going to produce 100. My friend, you can take one seed of corn and get two ears of corn that have hundreds of kernels on it. Listen, some Christians are 30-fold Christians. Some are 60-fold Christians. And some are 100-fold Christians. But the thing of it is that we need to be producing after ourselves. Listen, if the Word of God has fell upon the prepared soil, the good soil that has been cultivated by prayer and by the Holy Spirit of God and by responding and listening to the Word of God, it will produce fruit. If it doesn't, there's something wrong. Either it's on thorny ground, or it's on the hard ground, or it's on the stony ground. See, the good soil or the cultivated heart produces good works. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, the Word of God says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The good soil, the cultivated heart or mind, produces holiness and righteousness. Romans 6:22 says, but now being freed, made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. It produces holiness and righteousness. I don't do the things that I did before I got saved. I don't go to the places that I went to before I got saved. I don't listen to the kind of music that I listened to before I got saved. I don't drink the stuff that I used to drink before I got saved. Am I perfect? No. But a cultivated heart, the good soil, when the Word of God is sown, will produce fruit that is holiness and righteousness. Our heart's desire should be to be like Jesus. The good soil or the cultivated heart will produce genuine spirituality. Galatians 5 verses 22 and 23 says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We can put on a front. We can come into church on Sunday morning and we can put on our Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, put on our happy face, and we can come in and we can fool everybody around us, but we cannot fool God. He knows how spiritual we are. He knows how close we're walking to Him. He knows how much time we spend reading His Word. He knows how much time we spend in prayer. He knows how much time we spread the seed of the gospel to those around about us. The cultivated heart will produce genuine spirituality. The cultivated heart, the good soil, will produce a burden for souls. Paul in Romans chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also." He was writing to the believers there at Rome, but his desire was that they might grow, but that he might win others to a saving knowledge of Christ. Paul was always looking for somebody who was lost. We've been studying the book of Philippians, and we laid out the beginning of the church at Philippi in Acts chapter 16, when Paul went there and Silas went there, and they begin to preach the word of God, and how Lydia, the seller of purple, and the other women were down by the seaside, and they came and they heard the word of God, and she got saved. Paul and Silas were cast into prison, and it says at midnight, after being beaten and chained, says that they were singing and praising God, and God sent an earthquake. And all the prison doors came open, and all the chains fell off. And instead of Paul and all the others getting up and taking off out of there, the guard wakes up, and he's about to take his life. And Paul says, "Do thyself no harm, we're all here." And he comes in and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." A burden for souls. Hey, do you realize that your neighbor, your co-worker, your family member that doesn't know Christ as their Savior are on their way to a Christless eternity? Do you have a burden for them? See, the good soil receives the Word of God, and when we're challenged by the preaching of God's Word that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, it produces fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. I said in the Sunday school hour this morning, there are some who are sowers, there are some who are waterers, and there are some who are reapers. There are some who just have a real knack about sharing the Word of God with somebody. And then another Christian comes along and waters the seed that has been sown. And then somebody comes along who's a great soul winner and wins them to a saving knowledge of Christ. I heard a testimony of a man one time that we used to work at a gas station. And a guy came through and got gas and gave the guy a gospel tract. He said about 2 hours later, another car come through and stopped there at that same gas station. And he said, "Guy gave me a gospel tract." Said about 3 or 4 hours later, another car came through there. And the guy got out and was getting service for his car. And he said he began to give him another gospel tract. He said, "I've already gotten two. Why don't you tell me what they're about?" And won him to a saving knowledge of Christ. Somebody planted, somebody watered, and somebody did the reaping. The good soil, the cultivated mind, will also produce thanksgiving and praise. Hebrews 13, verse number 15, it says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Now, we just finished Thanksgiving a month ago. Just last week, we celebrated the birth of our Lord and Savior. But did we take time to praise Him? Did we take time to lift our voices and say, "Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for providing for my family. Thank you, Lord, for putting food on my table. Thank you, Lord, for keeping the lights on. Thank you, Lord, for putting gas in my car. Thank you, Lord, for providing a job for me. Lord, thank you. I just want to praise your name because you're worthy." Now the question is what kind of soil is your heart? All the preaching and all the teaching that we've received over this past year, what have we done with it? Has it fell upon the hard ground? Has not affected you? You've heard the gospel preached that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Has it fallen on hard ground? And you keep pushing it off? Has it fallen on stony ground? Where as soon as the service is over, you allow the devil to snatch it away? Has it fallen on the thorny soil where it begins to sprout and to grow, but then there's that still that the roots of sin in your life that you're not willing to get rid of, and you allow it to choke it out? Or has it fallen on good soil? And it's producing fruit in your life. What kind of soil is your heart? What kind of soil is my heart? One day, I'm going to have to stand before God and answer for my Christian life. I'm going to have to give an answer for me. Not my wife, not my children, not my great, my grandchildren or my great-grandchildren. Not for you, but for me. And all the flimsy excuses that we've ever had for not doing what God calls us to do, we're going to hang our heads in shame. Still saved. Paul said, so as by fire. Still going to enter into the joy of the Lord, but with the loss of reward. The question is, what kind of heart do you have this morning? Is it hard? Is it stony? Is it thorny? Or is it good? What decision are you going to make today with what has been preached? It's up to you. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our brother comes to the piano. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We'll give you an opportunity to respond to God's word. Father, we ask that you work in hearts as only you can. And certainly we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name.